Hi, before we get into this episode, I want to put out a quick trigger warning. In this episode, Rachel and I talk about our stories with recovering from an eating disorder, weight loss, weight gain, body image, body dysmorphia, and she also mentions the specific ingredients in her granola. Please take care of yourself. If these topics may trigger you, maybe skip this episode and listen to a different one. Thank you so much for your support with this podcast, and I'm sending love to you all. Hello, everyone. Welcome to or welcome back to the Perfectly Imperfect podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Minnie, and I'm here with a very, very special guest, a dear friend of mine, Rachel. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be here, and I'm really happy just to have this lovely excuse to catch up with Jenny. But I met her in college, and I still go to Northeastern. She graduated. But yeah, that's how we know each other.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you here. She is a young entrepreneur, girl boss all the way. So I'm really excited to talk about your journey with that and, you know, for you to share more of your backstory and your experiences. And yeah, so excited to have you here. Thanks again. When I have guests on the podcast, I love to start with a little rosebud thorn moment, kind of to set the scene, you know, get the conversation flowing and just reflect a little bit on how you're feeling in the current moment. I know I struggle with staying present, staying grounded. So this practice might help a little bit. But rose is something like good right now in your life that's going well. A bud is something you're either working on or looking forward to. And a thorn is something that's maybe a little bit more challenging. So feel free to share all of those, one of those, whatever you feel.
Okay, I love this. You're right. It's like, so we don't like think about the days that have passed, but this was good to think about. I think my rose was the fact that my boyfriend and I went to the gym together, and it was really awesome because we did this like killer strength workout, and I'm really trying to get back into really like strength-based workouts. I've been a runner like my whole life, and I get injured way too frequently. My most recent injury was a fracture in my lower back, which like by next week,
that's, should be clear. Yeah.
So I'm like getting close to like done, but I've been having to like not run and like really focus on strength training. And I like really resisted that a lot first, and just means it's not running, and I love running, but so fun. We were in the gym for like 2 hours, and he just made a lot of fun. It's also nice when you just like basically have a trainer, and it got super empowering. And I felt like I just like love connecting with my body, and I find running has always been a really good way for me to like feel empowered and strong. But I totally felt that during this. So that was like an awesome highlight.
That's so great. I love that.
And then my bud, I think, is that I've been getting back into a good work routine after taking a little bit of like a few days, kind of like working a little bit less. And then very natural. I mean, like humans are humans and we fluctuate with things. I had things going on that kind of like needed my attention that weren't work wise, but that does make things pile up. And I was like very kind of stressed about entering the work week, but I have been sticking to my schedule that I've been like setting for myself about each day, kind of working on a certain area of the business. That's going really well so far. I still like have a lot to do, but I'm hoping by Friday I'll like feel back on top of things.
Yeah, I bet you will.
So, and then my honest thorn is that my mom moved to Marblehead recently.
Same here. My mom's there too.
Like literally.
That's like crazy.
She just moved. I grew up in New Jersey, in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. But she's getting cancer treatment up at Mass General. And it's a better hospital than what she was going to before. And she's been struggling with cancer for about 4 years. But as kind of treatments start to change and maybe get a little bit more serious, like, she really wanted to have doctors that she liked and trusted. So she moved her treatment plan to Mass General. And then so she moved to Marblehead, and she starts treatment on Friday. So that's just been something in my head that's been like, been fun to think about.
No, not fun. Well, I'm sending her all the best wishes and health, and also to your way as well. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. I'm lucky that she's closer though.
Yeah. And you got an excuse to go to Marblehead.
No.
Well, thank you for sharing.
What about you?
I was thinking about my rosebud thorn. My rose right now is I've really been kind of very fitting for this conversation, but I've been reconnecting with old friends. And one of my old friends from Northeastern just moved to the city recently. So I've caught up with him, and another one of our mutual friends who I hadn't seen in months came as well. So we were just kind of all hanging out together. And a girl I used to work with in Boston, she's also living in the city, and we kind of rekindled our friendship. And now it applies to you too. So I'm feeling really good, and
I'm jealous. Just
really feeling the energy.
I say, like, New York is stealing everybody. Like, you, like,
New
York, everybody to New York, and I'm like, all my friends are leaving, and you're just stealing everybody. Yeah. Now I'm like, well, now I feel like I have to go.
Well, you got to come visit, even if you can't move here. You know, of course,
New Jersey.
You have a couch to crash on here always.
Oh, thank you. I might take you on.
Of course.
That's fun.
No, seriously. I mean, actually better than a couch. I have an air mattress. So
you can
come stay on there.
Really?
Yeah, of course. And then my thorn, I mean, Bud is next. But as we get to August, my mom is coming again. She just let me know to come visit me in New York City. And she lived in England for a while. She also just moved back to Marblehead earlier this year. So it's been really nice to have her close by. As much as I love going to England, and, you know, England's in my blood, I'm, you know, it's part of my family, I loved going, but it's definitely nice to have her close by so that, like, I can go see her, and she can come to New York pretty easily. So looking forward to that. We'll have some little mother-daughter,
that's so,
you know,
special
coffee dates.
I forgot about that. Yeah. That was another weird thing we had in common with, like, our half of our family being in England. My, like, dad's side is there. My dad's there right now. And it's, like, a huge part of who I am and my blood. And, like, what I feel like England is more home than the U.S. feels, just because, like, the people that make me feel the most, like, loved are there. And I just, like, it's just the best.
Yeah. Do you plan to live in London maybe, or live in the UK at any point?
I don't know. I've been asked that a lot, and I don't know. I don't know where life is going to take me. I don't even know, like, where I'm going to live.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah. I know. It's just kind of a bucket list item for me, for sure. Again, don't know exactly when, but I'd love to just see what it's like living there. I've visited so many times, but living somewhere is just a whole different experience. So yeah, I hope to one day.
I did it slightly during NUN, like, my freshman year. So I lived there for, like, just 6 months. And it was nice to meet your family. I, like, really liked it. England's gray, and, like, it gets you. And I mean, that's, like, the hard part. But it is just, like, such a special place to be.
Yeah. I think I just feel also just a calling to Europe, like, whether it's England or London, like, I just want to live somewhere.
Maybe
in Europe.
We just make the jump together. We move in.
So yeah.
Like a comfort buddy. I'm down. Let's get a flat.
That would be so fun. Yes, yeah. I would love that. Share a little flat together.
All right.
Be
cute.
That would be so cute. Moving on to my thorn. I would say I'm struggling a bit right now with, like, time management and schedule building. I feel like it's a constant work in progress. Like, every year it looks different. And I think since graduating university, like, last May, I feel like just my schedule's changed. I've changed jobs. I've changed living situations. I've moved cities. Like, there's just been a lot of change. And I feel like my schedule takes a while for me to really establish. Some days I feel like I'm scrambling to get things done, or, you know, just kind of struggling to fill up my own cup versus fill up, you know, what I need to do for work and fill up my social cup. Like, there's so many different areas that I'm struggling to balance a bit right now. So I've been trying to build structure in, like, my calendar and kind of block out time blocks, which has been working a little bit better. But yeah, definitely still something I'm struggling with a bit. But I know it'll come with time. And as I work on my priorities, I think as well, that's a big thing. I tend to people please and just say yes and do the most for others and, you know, not think about myself necessarily always first, which there's pros and cons to that for sure. Like, I do feel so good helping others and doing things with others, but not if it comes to the expense of, like, I'm losing time for myself and losing time to build that relationship with myself. So I'm working on that.
Do you find, like, when the people pleasing comes for, like, seeing people or, like, going out or things like that, where it's, like, social things, or is it more, like, work-based?
Honestly, sometimes it's like social media based, which is weird because it is such a creative, fun outlet for me. But I think like no one's actually asking me to do anything. Like, you know, it's all supportive. I love my community here, but I think I'm sort of quote unquote people pleasing in that way of feeling like I need to push out so much. I need to produce more content, be unique, like be consistent when sometimes if I'm having an off week, that's not what's really calling to me. So it's kind of more of a self-pressure in that sense. But then also taking on more with work sometimes, I'm working on that. And then social situations, like if I get invited to things, sometimes it's more difficult. But mostly it's kind of the self-pressure from like unspoken people-pleasing. Then maybe it's not people-pleasing. I'm not sure the term, but I don't know if that makes sense.
That's super valid.
Yeah.
Like one of those weird things that comes along with like the job or like behind starting something.
Yeah.
On social media. Like, I think there's that like pressure there because you know that, you know, consistency is super important and that as a consumer myself, like I want to be more and I get sucked in more when I see people more often. We're also humans and we've not been evolved to just be filming and sharing everything. And there's fun times doing that, but like it's also can be distracting. And so it's like, I mean, I've been trying to find that balance this month as I'm doing like a recipe challenge and just like putting out content every day. I found like batch filming and scheduling to be helpful because then I like can spend maybe 1 or 2 days like really thinking about it and focusing on it and then like letting it go. But you know, it's hard. Right. You want to be real, you want to be in the moment, especially being lifestyle. Right. I think that all makes a lot.
No, it's definitely like good days and bad days. I think I'm just working on kind of the self-pressure and not adding too much to my own plate and just making more time to have unscheduled time, if that makes sense. Yeah, like I feel like I can fill my schedule and I can feel great that I'm getting things done. But then if it's too full, you can't do it all. I'm just realizing like I need a good amount of time after the workday to decompress. You know, I kind of was expecting myself to go straight from, I work from home, so I don't have any commute time. So I would just like go from work and then go into editing content and I wouldn't have any time for myself then. So just working to build that in.
Yeah. Can I share something that's like been so working for me lately?
Yeah, I'd love to hear.
Okay. So like, I'm totally with you. Like the whole schedule thing is very hard for me because I work well in like systems and schedules, but I find it really hard to stick to them because I'm like, well, I want to be intuitive, which is important to have the flexibility, but sometimes it doesn't like actually like sometimes it's you have to do something where it's like you're biting the bullet, you're doing something that doesn't feel good, and then it actually sets you up. But part of that was noticing different themes of what I needed to feel in the week, like as a working human. I needed some like unstructured time of just like figuring things out. I needed some structured meeting times. I needed some days where it's just, you know, getting through the to-do list. And so I scheduled with, this was like not even my idea. This is, I have a great business coach and she recommended this, but she's like, write down all of the things that you typically do in a week. Like it's like an inventory, a to-do inventory, even like keep a log going and then split it in different themes. And this is easier for somebody who can control their schedule a little bit more, like me, like in the summer right now, I'm able to work full time on work and my business, but split then your days up into different themes. So like Mondays are my CEO days and I go through finances, inventory, like the things that like I don't love, but I need to know in order to like be on top of things. Like
right.
I'm aligning with my vision, like am I making sure that all my to-dos for the week are like consistent with the bigger plan? And so that takes a lot of like thinking, but I take no meetings that day because I'm just getting my life together. Then Tuesdays are my content days. So all day today I've been filming and baking and like creating. And again, no meetings, but like off screens, like really just creating different things. And I love those days. And then Wednesdays are like really where I focus on sales. So I'll like touch base with people who like I'm working with, make sure things are flowing there, that people have what they need, that like the business is functioning, if we're having a new partnership, like supporting that. And then Thursdays are like my meeting day and like my second CEO day where I'm going through my to-do list and I'm doing all the like stuff that like feels really annoying and I'm just like doing it. But like that's the day. So like if I have stuff that I'd put off, it's like all done on that day. I'm taking meetings and like getting things done. And then half of my Friday is where I kind of just like look at everything. I'm like, okay, this is everything. I kind of synthesize it into like a really big picture of what that week was and what that means for the week. And I take half of Friday off. Saturday I have off. And then Sunday I work because we do our farmers markets on Sundays. So it's just kind of like on right. that day. But that has been working so well for me.
That totally makes sense. Like kind of grouping it and theming your days.
Yeah.
I really like that. I'm gonna definitely take that into
it's fun to try and like have your list like yeah. of like I will be successful if I get even just and keep it small, like just these three things checked off. And if you have space and energy for more, add more. But like I've been thinking about it as I transition into classes in the fall. Like I'm not going to be able to have the same sort of flexibility I do now, but how can I do it on a bit of a smaller version? How can like, you know, Wednesdays still be sales days, but maybe the to-dos or the checklist is just like just check in to see if all orders are sent out. And if I do that, the company is still functioning.
Yeah, definitely. And like the key, I think, like you said, is just getting super realistic and not overdoing it and not overscheduling yourself. Because like you said, it's definitely good to have structure and there are going to be things that you have to do that you don't necessarily love. So you can't be 100% intuitive in that way. And you can't always just follow like what you're feeling in the moment. But sounds like this structure is helping you like find a balance of that and still being able to listen to yourself and listen to you know, you're feeling more productive and or maybe more energized versus less, but you still have that theme to kind of be that system and that structure throughout those different fluctuating type of days.
Totally. And like something that would really inhibit my work before was feeling guilty and knowing that I have stuff to do. And then that would continue to make it build up into like a bigger deal of a thing that then I procrastinated more. And so by having
I know that feeling.
It's the worst. Yeah. And then it becomes this like scary boogie monster of a thing that like I just feel resentment behind and I feel like feelings of guilt and shame that I haven't worked on it. And so why I like the theme days is because I tell myself if I'm ever like on a content day and I'm like, man, I really have to follow up with that person. I'm like, that's a Wednesday problem. Like I have a day, I have I know that like, I will work on it. I'll write it down on my Wednesday to do, but like, I'm not going to think about it. And I trust myself. Like I'll deal with it then because it's part of my like response of that day. And I have a whole day dedicated to doing that, but like not my problem right now.
Right. That's really great. Cause I definitely know that feeling where I push something off or work related. I've seemed to be able to kind of keep on top of things, but still I notice some tasks, if they're not necessarily deadlined or time sensitive, it's just something to work on. And I kind of am just like, oh, I'll do it later, but there's no defined later. So again, I totally understand.
And
yeah.
And like these, it's just a great way to build trust, I think, with yourself too, because then you do have to show up for yourself on the days that you said that you were going to do it. And so it's kind of like, oh, I have my back. I totally have my back.
Totally. And that takes time, but definitely I've been thinking a lot lately about like self-discipline and how that is a very much an act of self-love. We'll get into this more, but I've shared a lot about my eating disorder recovery through my platform on my podcast. And I think for a while, like self-discipline became a form of self-control and kind of self-hatred in a way. And that rigidity and that rigid lifestyle, rigid diet. So going through recovery, I've kind of had to figure out, well, I can't live with no discipline. So how can I redefine and reframe my mindsets around disciplining myself and getting things done, but making sure that it's coming from a place of self-love. So, and that's not something to underestimate. I feel like it's a really hard process and still days, like I'm very far in my recovery, feeling very confident with my relationship with food and my body. But there are some days where it's just kind of a little extra hard to get myself to do something if I'm feeling a little down or feeling a little anxious about things. But just reminding myself, like, no, this, I'm doing this because I love myself. I'm doing this to build trust with myself. That type of mindset is helping too. But again, not perfect, but those things kind of help me. I don't know if you've had similar
moments. You're taking autonomy back in something that maybe like you used control to punish yourself for. It's like using it in a way where I'm taking the control to do it and flipping the table. Like I'm doing it in a positive way. The control is I'm making sure I'm nourishing myself and I'm choosing to do that because this is a priority of mine. And like, yeah, that's a new evolving human. I think it's it's a huge thing. It takes a lot of time. And I'm happy that you've been like thinking about that. I've been thinking about something similar too.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good segue into the start of our questions. So first question I had for you is kind of, I'd love to hear more about the background of Rooted Living, which is your snack company, snack business brand, which I absolutely love, by the way. I love your granola. So I'd love to hear more about that and anything you'd like to share about your own recovery journey, mental health journey, your kind of relationship with food. And you've mentioned to me that that has played a part in the start of Rooted Living and is very much a crucial part of your story. So I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, I'm so excited to share. And I was talking to Jenny about this earlier, but I'm so grateful for the supportive space that can allow me to be super open in what it really meant to start this company and why. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily like this full authentic story is what I'll bring to an investor pitch because it's intimate and it has, some elements feel taboo and, I don't trust it, but I feel really like just grateful to share the story as it really came about. So thank you for creating.
Well, I'm honored. Yeah, of course.
Thank you for me and for everybody that's in this community. But yeah, like Jenny said, I'm the founder of Rooted Living. Rooted Living is a sustainable snack company that uses fully compostable packaging instead of single-use plastic. And then we use no refined ingredients in our snacks. So they're both good for you and they're good for the planet. We like to think of it as they're plant-based snacks in plant-based packaging because our packaging is just mm-hmm. made from plant materials. It's made from two simple plant materials and breaks down in about 3 months when it's composted. So we're really trying to lead the way, pave the way for a future of sustainability within packaged goods and packaged foods, which is something that I think is extremely lacking right now. And it has been for so long, but we're surrounded by seas of plastic. And also from the packaging perspective, seas of plastic and misinformation about sustainability. And we've become so used to plastic, but it is such a problem. And then mm-hmm. food itself that we're eating, I mean, everything is like stigmatized and has either a diet trend or like here's a superfood ingredient. Now here's a demonized ingredient. And like, it's just complicated and overwhelming. And it targets people who don't have information or do have complex relationships with food. And so stripping back everything and just providing simple ingredients that people will be able to turn around the bag, look, read and understand that, okay, these are foods, these are ingredients I understand and hopefully feel mm-hmm. empowered by having that understanding.
I love that. Yeah. I love the foundation and the mission and just even the packaging itself, like the design, the graphics, all so cute. I love it.
But yeah, I guess I think any great company is born from authentic passions. Like if you're not, passionate about a certain subject or field, like then one, you're not going to like have the determination to continue because business and entrepreneurship is so hard. And you can attest to this because you have your form of it through your platform and everything that you do. Like you are exactly an entrepreneur. And I'll kind of touch on my like growing understanding of what entrepreneurship is because mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd love to hear. Yeah.
So it's so broad. But I think that the passion piece is important because, you'll stick with something. And because when you know something really well, you're able to see what's not working well. And for me, when I was really, I went plant-based when I was very young. I was, I think, 13 when I went fully plant-based. So 10 years ago from now. The decision came from a few different reasons. I had really struggled with my relationship with food when I was young, like 11, 12, like that time. And I was so young and used not eating really as a way to feel safe. This was a time in my life where my home space was very turbulent. And it felt like also like school space felt turbulent. And I was really pining for feeling safe and accepted. And it just happened, even though I was quite young and didn't necessarily really like fully understand the body image part at that time, like use food and not eating as a way to feel like I had control and that I was doing something that was like good. Because, you know, as women, especially, like we see on media that like not eating or like restricting our intake or having a certain body, all these things will put us in a position to be accepted and superior. Mm-hmm. And all these things. So I think mm-hmm. I clung on to that through all the subconscious narratives and really quickly developed a very serious, very, very serious eating disorder. It was, I'd say, at this peak when I was like 12, and I was in middle mm-hmm. school. And because I really, it grabbed me in a way that like, I just didn't understand what was happening. I became extremely obsessive and scared, really scared to eat in front of other people. That was like a big thing for me, was I was just very afraid to eat in front of other people. And quickly, from like within about 8 months, I lost like pounds. And it was like so extreme, since I was so young already, that it was like extremely dangerous and very noticeable. And I ended up being admitted to inpatient unit when I think by that point I just turned 13. I was in there for a few weeks. It was like one of the worst experiences of my life. And I do think like it's a very hard experience to go through, but it wasn't until I was in inpatient that somebody, a doctor, had come to me and said like, what you have is an eating disorder. Like, I didn't really know.
I had no idea. Yeah. I didn't
understand what was happening. I knew what I was doing, and I knew that I was scared to eat, and I knew that there were so many complex things around it and that I had to focus on my body, but I didn't mm-hmm. really know a lot about this. And I, especially when your brain gets so like deprived, like I didn't understand and it didn't know what was happening. It got so bad that I wasn't there in the head, and I was so malnourished. And I was in the ICU for a while, and like I was at a point where like my heart really was not working very well, and it just was very, very, very dangerous. And so I had to go to kind of restabilize my health, but I'd say that the mental healing didn't come for years. And I think that it was a huge,
that's the hardest part. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, it is the necessary part to long-term healing, but I don't think I had the hospital system like was approaching it in a great way. It completely took my autonomy and control out of the situation and just was like, you have to do this, you have no say. And I think and that made it worse. Like, it made that caused for like relapses later on, because I had this whole thing about if I don't have control over something that's so important for me to have control over, and somebody else's, like, it was just awful. I got to a place where I was stabilized in weight. I was going to my freshman year, but again, the mental part wasn't there yet. I was scared. I was, not bought in. I was still very confused. And so I had a lot of troubles throughout high school with that and the mindset part, and still relating, truly thinking that the body and worth were hand in hand. And high school is a turbulent time for anybody, but when you're wanting to feel like belonging and wanted and not alone, course I resorted to the thing that I still felt like got me to a place of acceptance. And I think, unfortunately, in little ways, like, it almost was true. Like, or at least I felt that. Like, it felt like I went to a very, the school was whitewashed and it felt very privileged. It was a private school and very wealthy people. And like, if you didn't fit in this very narrow frame of like what was accepted, like you just weren't in it. And I think that that really like furthered my depth of the belief of like the association of like how you look with worth. And I don't think was until college where I had a therapist that changed my life. I've been with her for 4.5 years now. And
that's wonderful to hear. Yeah.
Just changed my life. And even though I thought I had kind of moved past it and recovered, there were tendencies in my brain that made me keep falling back into the same, using food in the same way. But I didn't think I was doing that. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's sneaky. It's like, I didn't realize that that was the issue going on, but I would lose a bunch of weight at one point and not really understand what was happening because I don't think I wanted to fully admit. And I was scared to admit that those were still kind of like controlling responses to hard times in my life. And it wasn't until about a year ago that I was at a really low weight. I was struggling with a bunch of different personal things at the time. Like, I mean, my mom wasn't doing well, like different things that were really difficult for me. And that had been my mechanism of control. I got to a point where it wasn't driven even from really an eating disorder, but it was the lack of acknowledging that I was still using the same patterns of behavior that then like led me to get in a similar space. I got to a place that was not healthy for my body. I was not getting my period. I was getting injured. Like my hair was falling out and all these signs where I'm like, I know that my body's not in a good spot right now, but I was somehow hooked and grabbed. My boyfriend who was so heartbroken during that time, he was like, it's like something's just like wrapped around you and restraining you as just in all areas of your life. And I can totally, I can see that now that I'm out of it. That changed that recovery period, whether it's recovery or just autonomy or whatever, taking the past year, I feel confident in saying that I don't think I'm ever going to like have a quote unquote relapse or anything. I feel really honest and confident in that because the way that I approached the shift of gaining weight this time had been completely worlds different than any time before because it was all about my autonomy in the process. I'm choosing to do this. This is a choice I'm making every day. And in that, because it was the first time I felt like I had body autonomy in this very crucial aspect of my life, I gained weight and I was like, I'm choosing this. Like, I'm choosing this because this is important and needed and making my body healthy. And through that, of course, there's this like discomfort, but I had this big orientation of like, I'm choosing this because of very important reasons that I had set out. I want my body to be healthy. I do not want to keep getting injured. I want to be like, this is a huge one for me. It like makes me emotional. Like I want to be the most amazing, healthy role model to like my future children. Like it's something it's always been a big thought in my head, but like it's going to happen now through the work I'm doing now. And I don't want to I don't want to continue to foster and water any seeds that are truly negative that will get in the way of me growing and becoming this, I know, beautiful person, mother, human self, like loving self that I know I can become. So within all of that, and we can talk about this in a moment, but like within all of that, I had been, you know, going through the business stuff and starting Rooted Living, but that had been my trajectory. That had been very important within myself and understanding myself.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing and, you know, for being vulnerable, opening up, because I know you know, as much as you feel alone in those moments being so deep in an eating disorder and not really understanding, like, I think my timeline's a bit shorter than yours, but I know the feeling of how wrapped up you can feel in it and kind of unaware of what's going on. And as much as you're trying to control your life, you feel the most out of control at the same time. And you put it so beautifully. So thank you for sharing. And I had a question on like your mindset shift with gaining weight. I think personally, that's been the body image side has been probably one of the harder parts for my recovery. So I don't know if you have anything extra, like how you work to shift that mindset. And then we can definitely get into the story with the, with yeah. your business. So
have you ever felt like your body is trying to tell you something, but you just can't figure out what? Maybe your energy crashes out of nowhere, your mood is all over the place, or no matter how well you take care of yourself, you just still feel off. I know I've been there. And for the longest time, I thought it was just stress or bad sleep, but what I've learned after being on my own hormone balancing journey this past year is that a lot of these symptoms are often tied to our hormones. This is where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz designed to help you uncover the root cause of your symptoms. After taking the quiz, you get a personalized recommendation to help get your body back in balance. When I took the quiz, one of the recommendations I got was to start taking Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula supplement that fine-tunes the hormonal system and is used by women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Using only science-backed ingredients, they offer a range of products designed to help you feel like yourself again. Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your hormonal issues. For a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PIPOD at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PIPOD, P-I-P-O-D, for 15% off today.
That's been something that's really been interesting to observe, because it's I'll have days where I'm like so fully confident in myself and how I look, and I'm like, I feel healthy, I look healthy, I chose this, like this is beautiful. I think you can relate to like having a partner that also really emphasizes how much they like want you, like find you beautiful in like a full body. Like I think that's super important.
Yeah, and you know that's
an addition. Things come from within, and true change comes within. But then I'll have those days, and I'll have days that are so drastically opposite, where I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't like this. This is scary. The deep, deep, scary feeling from inside of like, I need to flee. This is not good. This is not good.
Right. Like I've done something wrong. Like this is wrong.
I need to change it now. Like that's when you know, like what it's that flee feeling, right? And in those moments, I just really am trying to continue to orient myself to that is so different to how I felt in just a few days ago. So notice it doesn't mean that nothing's true or not true, but it's very different. And so my brain's different right now. It's different. I can't work in the frame of mind that I'm thinking right now, because it is very extreme. And taking more time to focus and feel in like all different senses in the moments where I feel really positive about my body, like really thinking cognitively about that, like what feels good, why does it feel good, like what is it, maybe telling somebody about it, but noticing that, I think those big shifts provides more room for the good parts to come up. So I've just been trying to voice more and more of the good parts, from how I feel, how I look, like all the things.
No, that's so key. And I feel like just as humans, whether you struggle with your body like or not, it's so easy to focus on the negatives and focus on the hard days, because those are the things, at least in my experience, those are the things that stick out first when I think about reflecting on my week or my day, like, oh, what didn't go well, what were the lower moments, they seem to stick out first. So you have to take intentional action to count your wins, count the good moments. So it's amazing to see you doing that.
And reminding myself too, like I'm getting to know this different part of me. I'm still getting used to this body and this new self. Like, I'm getting to know myself differently. And it's going to feel uncomfortable and awkward first, because, you know, I've had, when you look a certain way or even act a certain way for so long, it's just, you identify with it. It becomes comfortable. Like change is uncomfortable.
Right.
This is, I'm readjusting to what is new and healthy and normal. And that's just going to take time. But just like I'm getting to know my body differently, I'm getting to know myself differently. I'm getting to loosen the grip, to expand myself, to just celebrate such freedom in the mind, and how that will really, I think, build me into such a human with more depth and understanding. So allowing both of those to exist too.
Definitely. I love that. I love that. And how would you say like the connection to all of this with your business has been? Because I can't imagine going through all of that and starting a business at the same time. That's inspiring. And you know, it's amazing to see where you're at. And it's so wonderful to hear that you're feeling so confident and so, you know, in such a healthy, happy body and mind. Obviously, I know the feeling of as well is that's always a work in progress. You're still getting used to the change. But I can imagine you probably can look back on your journey with starting Rooted Living and, you know, notice the different eras of your recovery aligning with maybe different eras of the company. So how has that whole experience been?
Yeah, they're totally intertwined because, like I mentioned, I went plant-based when I was 13, so I was vegan. And the big question of me doing that was because I wanted to create a new relationship with food that felt like when I was eating, like it was something that was nourishing my body. And also I liked being plant-based because it also had this element of not being about me at all. Like it was more positive for animals, for the planet. And so it just felt like overall, every time I was choosing plant-based and eating plant-based meals, it was an act of doing something that was really healthy and positive and empowering, really. And so I really liked being plant-based. You know, it's just tricky when to navigate when you're early stages of recovering, because I definitely went in and out of like times where it felt like a way to be restrictive. And I think there were elements of that early on, but the longer that I was plant-based, the more it was just like, this is just what I eat. And like, I really believe so deeply in like the morals, the environmental morals behind it, the ethical morals, the health, like was maybe the thing that pulled me in. But right now it's like the lowest of the things I really care about, because you can get health from a lot of different things, but it just really aligns with me expressing and living through values that I have. And so because I went plant-based, I was very interested in nutrition. I had to learn from scratch how to cook for myself, like what I needed in my body, like B12, what supplements, like all the different things. And so I became like interested, like a little mini like website nutritionist of just like trying to figure things out. And I really liked it. And that's how I became, more aware of food and what goes in packaged foods, and how prominent in the packaged food space. There's so many ingredients that are almost impossible to pronounce. For example, which is the main snack that we sell, I would eat that every single day. And I wanted something.
I do too.
Yeah. I needed something that like would hold me over. So I just started making it at home on my own, just making granola. I made some other snacks too that I brought to school a lot, and I would just bring them to school. And it was just a great self-solution. Like I didn't think anything really that much more of it. I was like, great, this is fun. Like I'm making something, I feel really good about it. And then like a lot of people around me, like my friends and teammates, started to like ask for it and want it as well. And I think that was the little like first little inkling of like, wow, like other people like this and want it. And like, I could totally see myself like charging them. I didn't, but like, I was like, this could be a little business or something. I could have a farmer's market stand.
Yeah.
But it was so part of my like trajectory of like what I thought I would like do. It was just definitely like this great passion that I had, and it was aligning with things like how I could both be doing something that was good for me and good for the planet, because I wasn't wasting so much plastic in that process. I even remember my senior year of high school, I did this little tally where I was like, well, all of my teammates like go and we get a snack every day before practice, usually like some sort of bar or whatever from a school store nearby. And if we did that throughout every single day throughout our track career, we'd be wasting cumulatively over 14,000 pieces of plastic just on our girls track team.
Wow.
And that's not to mention like the other teams at the school or in the state.
Just everyone. Yeah.
Or like anybody that likes packaged right. snacks. Like it was so mm-hmm. shocking to me. But so that's kind of where the passion ignited from, the curiosities. Like I said, I knew a lot about the space with food and like I noticed where the issues were. Same within sustainability, as I was like in high school, I was like head of our green team and those sort of things. So I was like learning more about
plastic
and like those sort of things. So when you know a space, you start to see the issues within it. And then when I got to college, I went to college for psychology. I wanted to be a special needs child psychologist because growing up, I worked with a lot of special needs kids. I worked with the Special Olympics. Like it was one of those spaces like where I felt my most like authentic self. And I really like derived a lot of passion working from. So I just felt natural for me to go into something like that. But in my freshman year, I stumbled across this group at a winter involvement fair called WISE. And they were the Women's Interdisciplinary Society of Entrepreneurship. And I didn't know really what entrepreneurship was. When I thought about business, I pictured men in suits looking at financial projections and did not associate myself with wanting to be in a career like that because I just thought of like meetings. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just like, I think I had like in my head of like what business was. Like, I don't want to wear a suit. Like, it just didn't feel like who I was. But WISE, they pulled me over and they were like, do you have something that you're passionate about that you just want to build? And I mean, I was like, yeah, like honestly, yes. This is something I would be, that'd be so cool if I like could bring this into college or maybe sell around campus. Like my scope of what I could achieve was very small at that point. I didn't go into it thinking like, I want to be in every Whole Foods in the U.S. because I just like my, I had a lot of my own limiting factors of what I could achieve. And I just
didn't right. have yeah.
thing that I could do yeah. as like a, you know, 19 year old. Right. But I loved it. And I love that perspective of really, that's all entrepreneurship is you're taking something you're passionate about, you're building it through a supportive network of people. And all of a sudden I was in this group of people that believed in my ideas and me way before I even believed in me. And that wanted to see me succeed. Like they like wanted it like almost more than I did is what felt like. And like, They cared. They authentically cared about wanting to see me succeed and connecting right. with people and asking me if I wanted to be in Whole Foods and like all these different things, you know, like, so my slowly my mindset broadened of, okay, I have this passion. Maybe I could do something a little bit more than just selling around campus. Maybe it could be something that could be big. Maybe I could actually start this and create it and build it into a company. And then on throughout my college career, that became my focus. And it was all a learning experience. I had no background. And just figuring out myself, figuring out how to like find a target market, like how to build a supply chain, how to get funding. Like it's been like the biggest world, like college project ever, but it completely transformed, like putting my passions and what I wanted to do and like actively pursuing it. And so I ended up even changing my major, my second or third year of college, I changed my major from psych to a self-created major called the Sustainable Business of Food, which has been such a like pleasure to have as a major because I've been able to like dabble and tap into like so many different spaces of classes from like economics to public policy to environmental studies to entrepreneurship. And it's just been like this great combination of everything I really care about. And it was important for me to do that because then I could balance like being a student and like doing the company more, but I felt more like what I was learning was very applicable to what I needed to do. Right. But yeah, within the past 4 years of starting Rooted Living, it started like really from my like college dorm room, and now we produce like hundreds of pounds of granola a month. It's been it's been a really wonderful like experience.
Wow, that's so cool. I love the thing you mentioned about WISE, like being more excited before you were even really excited about it. Like you had this passion, you started it, but I don't know. I just think kudos to Northeastern, I guess, in that sense of supplying that club, but then also big kudos to you because you acted on that. You saw the excitement. And I think I can sense we have similar brains in the sense, like when you, you know, were first sharing your granola with your track team, you're like, oh, I could like sell this. Yeah. Like, I think that way too. Like if someone likes something, or I'm always thinking like, how can I make this legit? How can I grow this?
For creators.
Right. Exactly. Creators, entrepreneurs, business women. Like I love that. So, yeah, I love that story. It's so crazy to see how much it's grown. What's been the kind of like the most proud moment, I guess, in your Rooted Living story so far?
You know, there's been a lot of really proud moments. I mean, the fun part about working in the food space is that I'm working with tangible things. So like, since I'm not like building a website, I'm not doing these things that are like web-based. And so I get to feel and touch, and I have people try it and taste it and see that it's part of their daily things. I see people carrying around Rooted Living tote bags and I don't know who they are. Like, those are really great moments. But honestly, it's like the one that I can think about the most recently is I had a team this past like year and a half. Well, I've had a team for a while, but like a consistent team for the past year and a half. And they both graduated, and it was very clear that like it was time to probably find a new team. But I decided to take the summer, and I noticed there was a lot of recurring issues within Rooted Living that were stemming from a lack of organizational structure and fear around me fully understanding things like our financial models and projections. And there was just a lot that I needed to like be a little bit more brave about confronting and creating that felt like that I didn't know how to do at all. And so I took the summer and I took like what maybe looked like a step back, but like instead of growing outwardly, I was like growing the company inwardly and making sure that like, you know, the roots of Rooted Living were like really strong, so that when right. I then go and I bring on people, it's like we have a solid base, we have systems in place, everything's written down, we have a plan that's been tried and tested, and we can go off and run.
Right. Yeah, no, that's so crucial, I feel like, to any business, or even, you know, if you're like a freelancer, or even just, you know, starting anything, any project, kind of understanding probably your why and your motives, and then understanding kind of the fundamentals and how it actually works, because then you'll be able to soar and grow from that point on, which I assume is why you decided to do that. So that's great. So I know we're getting short on time, but I have one more quick question, or if you have more time for more as well, let me know. But I had this question thinking about other people maybe listening to this episode who are interested in starting their own business or loving entrepreneurship, or even want to start their own snack company. Like, if you had one piece of advice for someone else interested in this field of work, what would you say?
Acknowledging and taking really important time to learn about your own limiting beliefs is really important. It's a key word that could be thrown around, and even like I feel like I preach a lot, and then I take a moment where I actually like, oh my gosh, like take time to reflect and understand, in what ways am I getting in the way of my own success? In what ways am I the biggest barrier? Because we just like have these walls in our head as people of things that we're told from childhood, or that we've reinforced, or even little ones that we think society is reinforcing of how we should be doing things or what success looks like. But like stripping those away and understanding what are the things that we're telling ourselves, this is how things should be, this is what things should look like. Like this is like that complete sort of thing that you think is limiting your growth and feeling confident and feeling ability to take action is huge. And I think a big part of that is investing in either finding really empowering mentors. For me, investing in a business coach was a life-changing like thing for me. She's the most empowering and wonderful woman that I feel like I've ever met. And think about when you're meeting people like mentors or people that are helping you in those early steps, think about who you leave feeling empowered from and ready to make change, and who you leave feeling insecure potentially, because Since there are a lot of men in the business space, there's some really wonderful ones, but I noticed that I've had mentors that I've maybe held a little bit too long that have great knowledge, but every time I leave feeling somewhat ashamed or insecure. And those are limiting factors. They're going to come and they're going to limit success. They're going to limit your potential in some way.
Right.
So I think the inner work is huge. That will, without it, you won't be able to outwardly grow anything. It's like, so it's so important. Just not looked upon, especially because the business entrepreneurial space has been so male driven for so long, but it's what leads to sustainable life, like enjoying your life. Like it's like, that is so possible. You can do something that's hard and building and work, and it can be like lovely, and you take time for yourself,
right?
And yourself, like, it doesn't have to be the way that it's portrayed of like this grind set 24/7. Like, that's not normal.
Right. Yeah. And I like, exactly, that is sometimes what I notice I get fearful of, like thinking about maybe starting my own business or building something off of my social media. Like, I get nervous and anxious that it's, I have to do it like all or nothing. It's 110% or nothing. It's going to, you know, take up all my time and be enjoyable, but too hard. So it's, that's wonderful advice. I'm going to take that myself as well. Just really doing the inner work and getting to know yourself and kind of building that relationship with yourself, whether you want to be an entrepreneur or not. I think it's so crucial, and just understanding where you're doubting yourself more than others are even doubting you, probably. Mm-hmm. So I love that. And then quickly to end, you were talking about making this like a sustainable, enjoyable life as well as a successful company. What are kind of your favorite ways to wind down and, you know, do something for Rachel, not for Rooted Living? How do you love to spend your time that way?
Well, I love like spending time with people, and I get a lot of nourishment from that, but I've been trying to really focus on more ways that I can make myself independently and autonomously like content and happy. And so, I mean, running obviously is great when I can do that. Walking is huge. Being in nature, being outside, I really find myself like connecting, letting go. I love cooking. It's like a huge thing that I love to do. And like, I initially, when I started Rooted Living, I was like, I just want to like make a cookbook. Like, a cookbook was like the main thing I wanted to do, but I just make a lot of recipes now. And honestly, like anything like artsy, like I'm like not that good at art, but like I like pretending and trying that I can like paint.
Yeah.
Or I do paint by number.
I love that.
Or like I'll do a puzzle, like stuff that like gets my brain and my like hands and things like that moving and creating. And then takes my mind off of something else.
Totally. Yeah, that's recently been crocheting for me. I love
no,
that.
No, stop. I literally just crocheted.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe you can see
me. You did.
Right there.
Is it?
It's like a.
Oh, what is it?
So it was from a kit that was like a wobble or whatever they were called, wobble. And it's just like this thing with eyes. It's very cute.
Wait, that's so cute. Oh, well, that's all the questions I have. I know we went a little over on time, but thank you again so, so much. It's been wonderful to hear your story, get to know you as well on a deeper level, you know, as much as it's for the podcast. I've loved catching up with you. And yeah, so thank you so much. Any last things, if you want to share Rooted Living socials, where people can find you?
Yeah, totally. So you can find us on Rooted Living on Instagram. I really recommend heading to our website, rootedliving.org. And subscribing to our newsletter, because that's where we have a lot of recipes that come out. So just like fun things that are going on. So I really recommend that. But you can always find me too. I'm at rachel.dom on Instagram. But you'll see me a ton on the Rooted Living account anyway.
And as always, you can follow me, jenny.mini. And I have the podcast Instagram, perfectlyimperfect.pod. And with that, I think we'll wrap it up. Thanks so much again. And we'll catch you in the next episode.
Bye. Thank you.